Welcome everybody to Digital Business. This is Tyrone Walker and Josh Perryman. Today we're going to open up and talk about the top 10 earners from 2017. And if you notice, everything is going e-commerce. So sit back with us, listen for 30 minutes, and let's all get wealthy together. So, Mr. Perryman.
Yes, sir.
A lot going on in the world right now. Businesses are looking to figure out how can I amass more customers and make more money. Everything is going e-commerce. So from the digital standpoint, what do you think, or how do you feel about that? That's question number one. The second piece of it is, how do businesses who are not going that way funnel into that area?
Well, I feel great about it because I'm a technologist, so I get to make money off of people wanting to do that.
Of course.
But outside of that, it's a bigger picture. Everybody's going towards it. You know, as you can see on the list, you have one being Google, two Apple, three Amazon, four Microsoft, five Tencent, six Facebook, seven Visa, eight McDonald's, nine Alibaba, and 10 AT&T. So with e-commerce, you got Alibaba at number 9 and climbing, and then 3 you have Amazon, and they are also going up on that list right after Google and Apple. So you can see how powerful these e-commerce platforms are in enabling you to sell on the internet. And outside of brick and mortar, that's just what you have to do if not doing both, because it's just hard to play this game of selling to people when they're always on their phones, on Instagram and things like that. You have to figure out how to sell through the internet. And I feel great about it. Everybody else obviously feels great about it. They like to do it even when they don't want to, because they're bored. And they see something they like and they purchase. And that's really where, if you're selling something online, you want to get that, your product, in front of people that are just roaming on the internet. So, yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And one thing I'll try to always instill in my clients when I'm talking to them, whether it's a consultation or if I'm just walking in and they ask me different questions, it's always about the needs of the customer. You know, what's convenient for your customer? Think about us as shoppers when we're going into different places. What's convenient for us? And right now, people are trying to shop with the tip of their finger. You know, even looking at this top 10 list, McDonald's is the only one that has a consistent brick and mortar business. And even for them, they're doing online ordering now. It's so funny. I went to a McDonald's and you order from a kiosk now and it prints the receipt off for you and you take it up to the cash register. And they just say, okay, this is your number. Mm. That bugged me out. I mean, I was like, man, McDonald's. Is even, you know, so I think with smaller business, emerging businesses that are looking to compete, it leverages the playing field for access. However, how do you gain those dollars and how do you compete in that market? I think that's the telltale sign on how to get emerging businesses to see that, think long term as far as their goals. And ultimately, you're going to have to go that route. You know, I'm not as much of a tech head as you are, sir. Mm-hmm. But I do know that I need to get into that realm just to compete. You have to do it just to compete, mm-hmm. whether that be through social media, whether that be through trying to find different ways to advertise digitally. So all those aspects are something that we actually have to look at in smaller or emerging businesses to transition into the e-commerce world to compete, to maintain a competitive edge or not fall behind. A previous show, we talked about that with the JCPenney's, with the Sears. Toys R Us was going out of business, and we had a show about that. So that's something that we have to really, really look at. And then I know that's something I try to instill in my clients as well. And my segue into that on this next question is, where does an emerging business start, whether they're going new, or where does a emerging business and take off from if they're already open and they're not in that space.
Okay.
So as you just heard us talk about the top 10 companies, the billion-dollar companies making it, we want to talk about you, the emerging business, getting into the digital side from e-commerce, and those businesses who are already in, how do they transition to that? So stick with us. We'll be back shortly. Don't turn that down. All right, everybody, welcome back to Digital Business with Josh and Tyrone. Our last segment, we spoke about our top 10 companies from 2017 around the world and how they are all making all that good long money in the e-commerce world digitally. Now we're trying to figure out how do emerging businesses as yourself transition into that, or if you're starting your own business, where do you come in at on the ground level so you can make money and move forward as well? So Josh, with that being said, if I'm an emerging business, emerging company starting off, where do I get my foot in at the door? How do I start? Where do I build that? How do I channel that into helping my business grow? Is that something I start with, or do I just build a clientele first, or is it both all at the same time?
Ah, man. It depends on what you're selling first. What kind of products are you selling? Is it an electronic component company where you just need a whole bunch of electronic components? Is it beauty where you need to buy beauty products? So when it's products, you have to find out, okay, where do I get my product from first? And then, you know, at a good price, obviously, and how can I get it quickly or under the time frame in which I need it? So that's where Alibaba comes into play. You could go to Alibaba and buy products in bulk for obviously a manufacturing price. It's not the same price you would pay if you go in a store today here, in a, you know, right here at the CVS or something, right, to get a laptop cord, or not a laptop cord, a cell phone charger. But you can go to Alibaba and get a various amount of products where many businesses or manufacturers around the world put their products for you to buy in bulk. Mm-hmm. So you can buy your products in bulk from Alibaba. That's why they're so big. That's where they're number 9 on the list we went through. You know, once you solidify that channel, if you go through Alibaba, then there's Amazon and selling it for the price that you want to sell it at. So that you can buy great products from Alibaba and sell great products on Amazon along with everybody else. Then comes into finding your customers and really your niche and your pocket of customers and the many millions or billions of people that are using these platforms, maybe looking for the same exact product you're selling from hundreds or thousands of other vendors that are just like you. So you have to find your niche. That's where Facebook comes into play.
Yep.
Finding those groups to pub your product to, or different blogs to talk to people and then pub it to, in that fashion. At the end of the day, though, it's still, even though it's not cold calling, you still, to some degree, you have to gain momentum. So yeah, it may be one by one, and then those people talk. And then next thing you know, Facebook makes a difference,
right,
for you.
And I agree. I don't. It's not cold calling as a sense. Because right, the one thing now that technology has done, and again, it's just my humble opinion, it's kind of alleviated people who you don't have to actually have a physical interaction with people as much as you needed to in the past. You cut out a lot of middle guys. So one thing I look at in that aspect is, what's the greatest benefit of starting off? Is it the marketing portion or the selling portion? When I get into e-commerce, when I get into social media, if I'm trying to sell things online, is it more the access that I'm looking for, the selling or the marketing, or is it all simultaneous? I think a larger challenge for emerging businesses is, how do I get my name out there? I think that's the benefit. The other challenge is selling, because it's a new product and not too many people know about it. So do I build from the outside brick and mortar, or wherever I'm selling it from, door to door, or do I try to get everything, kind of put 70, 80, 90% of my eggs into the e-commerce basket? What would be your take on that?
In my opinion, if I was going towards the brick and mortar or online e-commerce, I would go e-commerce first, because then you can get a good basis of, does this business make sense? Does it make sense for me to go all in and buying more product now to sell? Is it selling first? All right, great, it's selling. Now, does it justify me getting a brick and mortar? Where am I getting my business at? Where is it?
That's the challenge right there. So, for example, how much effort do I put into person to person, business to business sales, people to people, in relation to how much do I put into the e-commerce portion of it?
Yeah.
I think a lot of that is where businesses, that's the challenge. Mm-hmm. Like, man, how much do I put into here where I can kind of get more exposure instead of kind of beating my feet on the pavement to move forward? So as we close out this segment, when we come back, we're going to try to touch base on that topic to figure out where should I put all my effort into, or the majority of my effort into. So stick with us and we'll be back to touch base in that area. All right, once again, welcome back to Digital Business with Mr. Josh Perryman and Tyrone Walker. Our last segment, we talked about how do the emerging business portion transition into, or start off, with e-commerce. We want to touch base on older businesses or businesses who are already working. How do they transition into e-commerce without losing the brick and mortar side of it? And then going forward, how much effort do you put into the e-commerce piece and keep that relationship with your brick and mortar or your people or business to business customers? So leading off with that, as a business that, well, I'm already in business, I see where everything is going. What does that transition look like? Is it a slow transition? Is it a hard transition? Do I just kind of start depleting inventory per se? What does that look like from a technological standpoint to go into the e-commerce portion if I'm already in a brick and mortar, if I'm selling out of a box per se?
I believe that if you're already in brick and mortar, you actually have an advantage over the people that start off with e-commerce, because at least you already know who your clients are, you know what you're selling, you know how often you're selling it, you know when to sell it. So now that you know all this information, you just apply it to online, so to speak. So it's nothing to be afraid of. It's just that you have the information you need to now be successful online. It's just about fine-tuning now how to do it online and where to sell it at. Where are those customers that you do sell? Where do they buy? Obviously, everybody buys from Amazon, but depending on what your product is, some places may be better than others to sell your product. Maybe you want to sell your product on Amazon, but you also want to maintain that brick and mortar type of atmosphere, so you sell on your own platform that is your business platform, and that isn't necessarily based on Amazon. But because your clientele is so well, everybody has no problem going to your your website, or maybe you have an app for purchasing. Mm-hmm. No problem. You already have your clients. It's ways to utilize that technology without ever losing your brick and mortar, but it's hard to survive without an online presence when you're brick and mortar, because it's just hard to grow.
Yeah.
When everybody's buying a certain way, you have to learn, how do I mold myself into what people are doing now? You can't stay how you are. Like, no business can stay stationary, exactly how you are.
Well, I mean, we see those examples all around us. Mm-hmm. I know, like I said previously, we talked about the Sears Roebuck of the world, JCPenney, how they began to transition, how many stores they've had to close. Toys R Us has gone out of business. Not to date myself, but I can remember growing up, it wasn't JCPenney's, it was Montgomery Ward's, It was J.C. Murphy's, you know, all those different places that people who are listening to the show, like, who, what? Never even heard of them before, you know? So I think the biggest part of that and what you touch based on is taking advantage of your clientele that you already have as a business owner and figuring out how do I keep them happy, but also gain that newer shopper who is just looking, you know, I don't need you to really say hi to me. You know, I don't really need the face-to-face interaction as a customer, you know, but I think that's the biggest part that you have to look at. What's your take in that area?
My take is, it's not, you want to get new clients, but you also, for the clients that you have already, you want to make it easier for them to purchase your product. So if they come into your store once a month to buy something and they're a faithful customer, if you give them more opportunities to purchase when they're outside of having to come, maybe you just quadruple your sale to by client because you gave them online presence to now purchase from, to where they do it four times in a month instead of coming one time. So technology enables you to sell to your consistent clients who you want to sell to all the time, because those are the ones that come back. You want to keep selling to them. Those are going to be the majority of your income anyways. So you might as well find ways to sell to them more and, you know, get new clients. But you want to sell to those individuals more so than you would if they're just coming in on their own two feet. Just give them a, hey, here you go. Here's a little sale. Just purchase this right quick online. Make it easy for them. A couple clicks and they got it. And that's what Amazon did.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy.
And another advantage to that is everything we talk about, data. Mm-hmm. The brick and mortar kind of has an advantage per se in seeing, okay, this is kind of what my customer looks like. This is what this customer buys. Whereas in the e-commerce aspect, you can see what's selling, but you may not be able to see the actual demographic of that shopper. You may be able to get location. So I think there's advantages and disadvantages to it. But I think at the end of the day, we have to begin to look at how we're going to do that. So going forward, stick with us. We're going to continue on this topic. So don't go nowhere. Stand fast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Digital Business is on the air. So again, as we left our last segment, we talked about the data portion of brick and mortar in relation to businesses who are primarily e-commerce. So my question to you, and I want our audience to contemplate this as well, how do I take advantage of both formats? The data that I receive of the customers I know who come into my shop every day or my place of business, and how do I take advantage of the data I receive online from people who purchase my product? So from that aspect, what points of entryway do you feel is an advantage for brick and mortar versus e-commerce and vice versa?
Data, obviously being the biggest portion of all of the e-commerce world, which is even why you have Facebook and their little scandal and their new commercials now, saying they're going to be safe and hold your information, knowing good and well that that's not happening.
Well, it's not just Facebook, them. It's a Wells Fargo, banking. I think a lot of people are trying to go that route from the apologetic standpoint, I should say.
They're apologizing for something that they're going to keep doing. Google does it. Yeah. Apple does it. They both do it. That's why Apple knows where you work. Yeah. You know, that's why Google knows what places you like to go. Yeah. Or every time you arrive at a location, it say, hey, tell us about the location you're at.
Yeah.
But specifying where you are. You know, if you're at Starbucks, oh, tell us about this Starbucks location. That's not by accident. They know where you are.
Right.
They're gathering your habits.
Right.
And through those habits, they sell that information.
Yeah.
Google Analytics. That's real useful information.
Absolutely. And so, and sometimes, you know, they ask you, you might be at a restaurant. The other day, mm-hmm. I was, had my son, took him to, we were at a McDonald's. They said, hey, take a picture. I mean, it just popped up. Hey, you're at the McDonald's. Take a picture and tell somebody. I was like, or give a review or something.
Yeah.
I was like, man, you know. Yep. So, I mean, the access, I would believe, would probably be infinite. You know,
it's infinite. It's like unstoppable. It's just in place. And they could give all the apologies they want. It doesn't matter. Information will be had. Amazon gets that information, a notice. You search different things in your browser, and next thing you know, you have ads up on another website saying, hey, are you interested in this Amazon product? I mean, this is how they market. They Amazon or whatever e-commerce site you're on, they're able, specifically through Google, you could do it through Microsoft. You understand where the people are searching, what they like. Now you know what they like. Here you go. Keep on pushing that same ad in their face for the product that they've been looking at for the last week. And sooner or later, you'll probably buy it. So that's how powerful it is. And how businesses now utilize that aren't making maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars to be able to afford these type of tools. It's hard, you know. It's hard to be able to get that information, but it's possible. And that's where it's possible. You know, you could do different things with your own website. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I come in, because I built the platforms in which you could gather that type of information utilizing either Google or Microsoft. I'm more of a Microsoft guy. Microsoft is, even though Google's number one, Microsoft is pretty powerful in their analytics too. But Google is just more popular. However, I use Microsoft for the majority of my projects. And all these analytics, as far as who's searching on your site and where they are, that's important information. Yeah. Because maybe your client is in New York and you didn't even know.
Yeah.
But you have a whole bunch of people buying from you that's in New York. Well, what's going on up there?
Right.
I need to sell more in New York. And that's simplistic information that you can gather.
And I think the million-dollar question is, if I'm a business, how do I compete with that in an e-commerce stance? And here it is. You can't unless you're in there. You know, you can't compete with that type of traffic physically. You know, it's just hard to do, you know, unless you have multi-million dollar advertising budget. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just hard to do. I'll give a prime example. I was looking through Google for some movie tickets, and I seen some shoes. Just popped up some shoes. I was like, oh, those are some nice-looking shoes. So I just clicked on it just to look. I was like, oh, okay, I didn't purchase them. But every day for probably the last 2 weeks, that pops up. I'm saying, oh, you looked at this. I'm like,
right.
I'm playing words with friends. How do they know? You know.
Guess what? With the click of a photo or anything, there's analytics in that click. I know this because I put this stuff in the click. In your emails, there's analytics in the click. Sometimes you'll notice if you click, even Twitter, you click the photo or the link, and if you hurry up and look at the top of the link, it won't even be the link that you're going to. It'll maybe say Google Analytics something or like SendGrid something. And then it'll go to the link. You see the link switch.
Yeah.
And it's switching because it's sending analytical information from that click to one server to gather all the info. Then it goes to the link that you clicked. So it does that all in a click. It does it super fast. You don't even know it. So that's how you can tell who opened your emails, where they opened it at, what browser they opened it in, what device they opened it in. This is all the type of information you could get, what they're using. So it, from a click of a button, on my end, it's so easy to do.
Right. So for my business, hey, Mr. Pierman, how do I gain access for my emerging business to compete like that?
Like that, as far as emails, it's rather simple for me to do. I do it, and anything like I build, I just automatically put that in there. Mm-hmm. It depends if I give access to that information on the client side or not, but it's like embedded in what I do. I just, what I go through, I automatically have the analytics do that. And for how you can get that in your business, just talk to me. Go to mytechdreams.com.
All right. Shameless plug, man. Don't worry about it. Hey, that's what we're here for, though. At the end of the day, that's what we're here for. You know, I know we joke about it a lot, but I think it's important for people to know that, gosh, you don't have to go to a multi-million-dollar worldwide technology firm to get all this access. It's a lot of people out here, smart young men like yourself, who knows how to do this and do it on a grand scale. I mean, you've helped out million-dollar companies before. So it's not like, you know, you have to go to California to get this, New York, L.A., you know, some large city. We have all this experience right here in our city, and people need to understand that you're not far from access. I think with emerging businesses, I think that is the probably largest obstacle to overcome, to feel like, man, I don't have enough money to do this. It's about utilizing your resources, understanding where your resources are at, and gaining access to those resources. Oftentimes, we don't know. How do we network as an emerging business? Am I going to my SBA, Small Business Administration office, for assistance? Am I going to meet and greets? Am I going to business seminars? Am I investing in myself to meet other people with a like-mindedness or who are in small business field that I'm in? We come in with our segue in and out, survival of the fittest. You know, entrepreneurship is just that. It's entrepreneurship. You know, sometimes you got to pat yourself on the back. It's difficult. You know, I tell anybody who's doing this or who's looking to do this, most people who are already doing this already know. But if you're looking to do this, it's going to be some days where you question yourself, you know. But if you have your mission, if you understand what you want to do, you have a passion for it, you can absolutely succeed. But it's understanding what resources I need, what I'm good at, what I need access to, and how do I gain that access. So I think from a business model standpoint, a lot of those businesses are looking at how am I moving from here to there? And then those businesses who are starting, how do I come in and compete with somebody who's already there? Because my ultimate dream is I want to be up here with the big dog, per se. I want to be the millionaire. You know, we're all in business to make money, but we all have different paths to how we get there. Some people take the elevator, some people take the stairs. You know, it's a battle anyway, but you have to understand what access you have. So going back just to close out and wrap up, top 10 companies of the year, it was a lot of them.
Google, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, Tencent, Facebook, Visa, McDonald's, Alibaba, AT&T, all in order. All of these companies have something to do with each other. Google does a lot with what Microsoft does, a lot of server analytical type of things. Apple's phones to buy your products. Amazon, obviously, you're selling. Tencent, they're more video games, but a lot of instant messaging, which you also use in different bots to sell people. Facebook, you use that to sell. Talk to people to get them to sell. Visa, you need their money. McDonald's, you gotta eat. Alibaba, you gotta buy a product. AT&T, you gotta call folks to get your business. So they all 10 go all into each other.
So, and with those companies, I know a lot of people, oh gosh, you know, those are $1 billion companies. Yes, but guess what? They are started someplace. You know, some started in garages, some started McDonald's, mom and pop restaurant. It's the vision that you have. So continue to live your vision. Understand Rome wasn't built in a day. Some people get luckier than others. And again, you may be an elevator, you may be on the stairs, but no matter what your goal is, make sure you reach it and get there. All right, so again, we thank you for hanging out with us this week. Digital Business, follow us. We will be here each and every week on JQML Radio. So thanks for your time. Have a great week. And don't forget, get out there and shine.